I would ask that you would turn with me in your Bibles to the most familiar psalm in all of Scripture, a psalm that has been close to the hearts of the bereaved, people struggling with health issues, people not sure what direction to go. How common it is for us to turn them to Psalm chapter 23, and it is for good reason that we turn them there. Psalm chapter 23. Psalm of David, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we thank you for this familiar, this beautiful, this oft-quoted psalm. We thank you for David, the king, the shepherd king, who penned these words and how real these words were to him. And in like way, make these words real to us, we who are so far away from this sheep metaphor, who do not walk in the same times that David did, but help us this morning even to see the same meaning, to see a God who shepherds us, who cares for us, who sustains us and guides us and guards us, who is attentive to our every need. And in our time of needs, help us to turn our eyes towards you and to trust the shepherd who desires only our best. And now we pause, as we always do, to ask that you would speak to us through your word, pray that my words would be your words, to ask that you would show us how to apply this in very specific and important ways. We also pause, if there is that need, to confess any sin that we might have in our lives. For we know that you desire that of us, that we would walk in fellowship with you, and that you have given us the opportunity to bring that sin before you. And that when we confess, you say that you are faithful and righteous to forgive and to cleanse. And we trust that, and we take that upon ourselves even now in the privacy of our hearts. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock, your Son is my Redeemer. And it is in Jesus' name we ask these things, and God's people said, Amen. We turn once again this morning to this beautiful psalm. This is a confident psalm, very much like the one last week that we studied in Psalm 16. The genre of confident psalms, and there are many in the psalms, are those where the psalmist notes or asserts his unfailing trust in God, sometimes in the midst of troubles, other times just in the midst of life. And the psalm written before us is a psalm written by David, the shepherd king. And David, as we know, was a shepherd from his youth. We are first introduced to him when Samuel is told to go out and anoint the next king of Israel. And he goes to Jesse. Jesse lines up his boys. Several of his boys are in the military, strong, fine young men. Samuel looks at them from one to the next, thinking that surely this is the one that God has. And God says, no, that's not it. And on and on and on, till he turns to Jesse and says, is that it? Is that all of your boys? And he says, well, there is one left. And the one left is the one who is out shepherding the flock. But certainly, that's not the one that God would have to lead God's people. Indeed, it was, and he went and got David. David was anointed, and David would later become, what Psalm chapter 78 says, is the shepherd king. And it was these shepherding experiences, it was his life as a young man in the fields, entrusted with the care of his father's sheep, that thrust upon him experiences for life that he never forgot. And all of those experiences, as we read his Psalms, we see that the beautiful echo, as it were, of those experiences involved with it. There's where he learned to follow the Lord. There's where he learned to become a man. There's where he learned confidence and courage in what God had for him. And it is a motif that runs all the way through Scripture. Probably of all the patterns or metaphors in Scripture, the sheep and shepherding metaphor is the most powerful and the most common one in all of Scripture. We could trace it all the way through in a variety of ways, but suffice just to have a few this morning. It goes all the way back to the book of Genesis, where Jacob, in his old years, brings his sons Joseph's children before him and blesses them. And he begins his blessing by noting that it is God who has been his shepherd all of his days. So he establishes the idea that God has shepherded him, cared for him, ministered to him, taken care of him all of his days, and he puts himself into that beautiful sheep and shepherd metaphor. And from there on, we see that in the Psalms, that it is a very common theme throughout the Psalms. The chief musician of Israel employed this metaphor, this idea, on an ongoing basis. In one particular psalm, Psalm 78, he goes back and considers the experience of the wilderness travelings of God's people. And it says that God led his fourth people like sheep and guided them like a flock. So he goes back and he looks at that idea of God being a shepherd to his people. And we can really visualize that as we see of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and going across the wilderness towards the promised land. And it was as if God was leading them as a shepherd. Sheep who did not know where they were going, but he was preparing and taking care of them all the way along the way. The prophets spoke of this idea on an ongoing basis. Isaiah was one who spoke of it often when he talked about the Messiah who was to come. And then Jesus affirmed this when he said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." And in that beautiful passage in John 10, the sheep and the shepherd and the door of the sheep, it's such a beautiful illustration of all that he came to do. And finally, even as we move into the New Testament, we see that the figure continues to develop all the way through, even to the point where Peter speaks with the elders and he says to them, now as you work with God's people, as you minister to the people entrusted to your care, think of the metaphor of the sheep and the shepherd, he says. Be a shepherd to them. Consider them to be as sheep. You are to shepherd the flock. It is not your flock. It is the flock of God, proving to be examples to the flock in 1 Peter 5, 2 and 4. So this idea permeates Scripture. This theme just works its way all the way through Scripture. The challenge for you and I is that, unlike in the time of David, or even unlike in the time of Jesus, certainly unlike in the time of Jacob, we are so far away from the picture, from the metaphor, from the illustration in our daily walk, that we view it, as it were, kind of up on a shelf in a pristine setting. You and I know very little about shepherding, and we know very little about sheep. I remember one time we were on our way up to, we had a little cabin up by the Grand Canyon, go through Kingman, and then you'd go through about 50 miles of just kind of deserty land. And I remember one time we're driving along, and all of a sudden, just as far as the eye could see, there were these woolies. And it just, there were probably thousands of them, and behind them were jeeps. And they had jeeps, you know, going along, and above them, believe it or not, was a helicopter. And you know, I look at that and I go, well, that's an interesting way to shepherd. That's kind of not exactly the biblical norm, but that's about the closest thing I've ever seen to shepherding the sheep. The only sheep I've ever touched is in a petting zoo. I've never sat and watched them. The closest I've been to a shepherd is to watching, you know, the Christmas programs on TV, you know. That's about as close as I've been. So about the only thing that I know about sheep and lamb in particular is how I like it cooked. And that's not exactly an apt description for what we're after today. So in order to do Psalm 23 justice, I think we need to open it up and get a sense of what sheep are. And I need you to be prepared this morning. It's not going to be particularly complimentary. God didn't do us great favors when he called us sheep. And how wonderful it is that God has called our shepherd. And even in this very, very familiar passage, my prayer is that as we walk away from it, we will just be saying to ourselves, how good it is that God had us pegged for what we are, just dumb sheep in need of a shepherd, and how good it is that he would provide everything that we need and would sustain us as the shepherd of our soul. So that's what we want to talk about this morning. It's not complicated. All it is an affirmation. It's a confidence psalm. The idea is that we walk away from here confident in who God is and confident in how needy we are in terms of God's protection on an ongoing basis. So let's jump in. Three simple principles about sheep and our shepherd, and a couple promises at the end, and that's all we have this morning. The psalm begins, as most good psalms do, with the main idea. Makes it very, very simple, very, very clear. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Once again, as we have learned throughout the Psalms, when the Psalm begins with the Lord, all capital letters, L-O-R-D, he is speaking about a certain aspect of who God is. He's speaking about Yahweh. It's the covenant-keeping name of God. When he thinks of this name, he's thinking of the one who is self-existent, the one who rules all things, the one who is over all things, who is the covenant-keeping, faithful God of all eternity. He says, this God, the Lord of all creation, and then he moves it into two personal terms. He says, this Lord is my shepherd, and therefore I shall not want. I don't think David ever lost sight of the majesty of who God was. That this God who rules all things, knows all things, is majestic above all these things, would deign to come down and be among us, that would choose to be our personal, and that's the idea of this pronoun, my personal shepherd, puts us in a magnificent situation. He says, because the Lord is my shepherd, because the God of all eternity, because the one who does all things well, because the one who knows me better than myself is my shepherd, that leads me to a statement of confidence. He says, I shall not want. In simplest terms, all is he saying, because the Lord is my shepherd, I can rest in the fact that always my needs will be met. That's really valuable for us as we go through our life today, for us to look at our life and the difficulties and the circumstances and the setting and the situations that are around us and say to ourselves, because the Lord is my shepherd, I can rest. I can relax. I can have confidence. I can know that every need that I have will be met. So he begins the psalm with a confident explanation that the Lord is his shepherd, therefore he shall not want. Now what he does in following is he traces the needs of the sheep and the provision of the shepherd. And he does that in very, very simple ways. And so I want us just to look at those together. First of all, I want us to look at verse 2. And the beginning of verse 3. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. The first thing that we see is that sheep need constant attention. How shall I put this gently? Of all of God's creations, large and small, sheep are quite possibly the dumbest and the most helpless. You say, well, that's not a very nice thing to say about sheep. I actually need you to understand that I'm not really talking about sheep this morning. We'll leave it there. But think about it for a moment. Take most any animal. I remember we went up to Oregon, our very first time, first year that we were here. And some friends of us came up to visit, and they had a little baby child. And the baby child, you know, whenever they needed milk, they would scream. And my cat decided that, you know, I don't need this. And so my cat, which is completely an indoor cat, escaped, left the house. And for 2 weeks, we looked for that cat. And, you know, Oregon is, you know, it's like living up in the wilderness. You know, there's all sorts of animals out there that just would love to have a piece of cat for dinner. You know, there's owls and there's raccoons and there's all those sort of things. But it was such an interesting thing. At the end of the 2 weeks, you know, our friends were leaving and she was crying because our little cat was gone. And they walked out the door and they packed up and they took off. Within an hour, my cat was back. You take a dog, let them out, they'll find a way to exist. Horses and mules and chicken and geese, and take about any barnyard animal that you can think about and let them on their own, and somehow they'll find a way to exist. A sheep, you leave them on their own, and soon there will be no sheep. They will just be somebody's dinner. Sheep have been known to stand and look at an empty trough, feed trough, or an empty water tank until they drop dead. They don't have enough sense to figure out there's nothing there. I must go out and find something somewhere. Sheep spook at the least provocation. One of my favorite books on shepherding is by Philip Keller. You may have read it. The Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, one of the great books you should have in your library. He talks about on his ranch, and he had this ranch up in British Columbia, and he had it full of sheep, and he had sheep on his pasture, and a friend of his was coming to visit one day, and so his friend drove up to the gate there, and he was, Philip was there with all of his sheep kind of out there, and the friend got out of his car, and as he was getting out of his car, he had just bought this this little baby Pekingese pup. You know, remember Pekingese kind of looked like they ran into your door type of a dog. This dog come running out of the car, all 4 pounds of him, went running up to the fence, and the sheep just freaked out. They went running all the way across to the other side of the field. It took him, he says, the better part of the afternoon just to get them to calm down. Sheep just don't do well on their own. Simply put, sheep need a shepherd. They don't survive well without a shepherd. They need a shepherd who provides their most basic needs, and that's what David says. They need an attentive sheep who provides green pastures and quiet waters and who restores their soul. They need a shepherd that gives them 24 hours attention. They need a shepherd who looks towards the future and sees their needs, that finds the best and the greenest pastures, that brings them to the most nutritious places, the places where there's the quiet waters. Shepherd can bring his sheep up to a stream, and if it's running too fast, they're scared of it and they won't drink, even though they're dying of thirst. And the shepherd will have to take some rocks and dam up a quiet place where a sheep will be able to drink to their fill. He needs to find places where they will safely eat and where they will lie down and rest. He needs to constantly work on protecting and caring for, and when there is disorder in the ranks, that he is willing to wade in and restore and bring peace and order to the frightened and panicked sheep. You know, already we're just beginning, but I hope you're starting to get the value of the metaphor. I'm so thankful that I have a good shepherd Because I find the longer I go in my years that I'm not quite as intelligent and insightful as I once thought. My paths are not as clear and clean as I once thought. Left to my own devices, I don't do well. And how easily I find in my life, I'm panicked and freaky and frightened at the calamities of life. I need an attentive shepherd who is there to provide me all of my needs. And that's why I'm really thankful that I have exactly that kind of a shepherd. Scripture says that I have a shepherd who supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Scripture says that I have a God who says to me, come and drink of the water that I shall give, and you will never thirst. Scripture says that I have a shepherd who I can take upon his yoke because he is gentle and he is humble, and it is in him that I will find rest for my soul. I'm a sheep who needs constant attention. I have a shepherd who attends to me in that way. The second thing that we see that we're going to need, a sheep needs careful guidance. Verse 3 and 4 gives us that indication. It says, he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In verses 3 and 4, we see that sheep need careful guidance. If sheep struggle in the confines of the home paddock, imagine how much they will struggle as they go down the paths to different places for green grass and for water. In David's time, and still in the day that in which we live in much of the world, sheep are somewhat semi-nomadic animals. They have to move from place to place to place so that they won't overgraze. They can only stay in one place for a time period because the rains or the sun or any number of things, they can only be there for a while, then they must move on to other ground. But sheep are interesting animals. They love to eat, and they love to drink, and they love to lay down, but they don't love to travel. They don't like new stuff. They like stuff that is comfortable. They like to be in the simple confines of where they are. They don't like to be pushed out of their comfort zone in any way, shape, or form. What they really need is a shepherd who will guide them out of their comfort zone. They need a shepherd who knows where he is going. He needs to know where those sheep need to be. He needs to know the paths that will lead them through the appropriate places. He needs to know that as he goes through certain places where the dangers are, and to protect them as they go through the craggy cliffs or the low valleys where predators lurk. He needs to be there to guide them on an ongoing basis. They need a shepherd who knows the right paths, who knows how to bring safety in the dark valleys. They need a shepherd who carries a rod and a staff. David was most famous for a slingshot, but the two pieces of equipment that every shepherd, even to this day, carry are the rod and the staff. The rod would be about a 2.5 to 3 foot long club, I guess is the best way to put it. It would usually be hewn out of a root of a tree. Shepherds would take their time, and some of them, even to this day, as you look at the edges of those rods, they're beautifully inscribed and gorgeous gnarly knots along them. And that rod would be something that he would have at his side at all times. And the purpose of the rod was primarily offensive. The shepherd would practice with that rod and was unerringly accurate within 25 yards or so. It's like a wolf was coming up around the edge of the flock. He could let fly with that thing and bunk him right in the head. He had that handy in all circumstances. He had a little old you who was having an attitude and kind of biting the next door neighbor. That rod was just a gentle reminder of who was in charge. He also would carry a staff, and it's probably the one thing that we're most familiar with, the crook staff that we see on the TV productions. Now, crook staff would be used to guide his sheep, to pull aside the brambles. He would take the crook in, and when a sheep had gotten himself in the midst of a brambly bush, he would take that crook and we'd put it in and pull the legs out from under that sheep and pull him to safety. Or when he found him in a hole or over a cliff, he would take that crook and he would pull him back out. He would take that crook and he would just touch his sheep to let them know that he loved and he cared for them. A shepherd is one who knows where the right paths are. He knows how to bring his sheep through difficult times safely. He has his weapons and his tools necessary so that his sheep will always be protected. I'm so thankful that we have a shepherd who guards us in that way. A shepherd who knows the paths that are going to lead us to the green pastures, who knows how to take us through the dark times, who has a crook that brings us comfort, who has a rod that gives us an occasional bunk on the head when we need it. I'm so thankful that we have a shepherd who says all the paths of the Lord are loving kindnesses and truth. I'm thankful that we have a shepherd who says your loving kindness is great. He delivers our souls from the depths of Sheol. I'm thankful that we have a shepherd who says, I will protect you from all evil. He will keep our soul. We have a shepherd who guards us as we go through our life. The third thing that we see that sheep need is sheep need continual sustenance. And we see that in verse 5. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. This thought just turns to the continuing sustenance that is necessary on a daily basis for sheep. And interestingly, I love it in verse 5, how David's imagery just expands. The author of hymns in particular, they can take metaphors and they can kind of mix them and cross them, as it were, to build direction and guidance. Here, it actually resembles more the idea of a banquet where a gracious guest is attending to every need of his guest. Look at it. You can almost see it. You're invited into the household of someone. They're saying, come over to my house. We're going to have this wonderful banquet. I'd like you to be my honored guest. And when you show up, you see that a table has been prepared for you. And every delightful thing you can imagine is on that table. I thought that was so interesting yesterday. We had this wonderful reception for Megan and for Adam. And we walked in here and everything was dressed up and it was all beautiful. And every dessert known to mankind was spread out before us. And half the people in the room had just started a diet. How fascinating that was as we all sat around there kind of going, that looks really good, but they're not eating it. So I'm not eating it. I imagine that we had a few leftovers yesterday, but imagine that there were no strings attached, that you just walked in and you didn't have to worry about any of those sort of things, that you just walked in and you said, look at that table. It's just overflowing with absolutely everything that I could ever need. And he says, you prepare this table even in the presence of mine enemies. And the idea is you go into that house and there's absolute safety and security. And you can leave all your worries at the door and you come in. And as you come in, you can be assured that you're honored as an honored guest. You're not only going to have your head anointed with oil, but you're going to have your feet washed as well. And all through that meal, you can be ascertained that your cup will always overflow. You say, well, how do we move this into the realm of the sheep? Well, actually, it reminds me of the way some of us feed our dogs. We cook for them. We provide for them. Oh, no, they can't have that. They've got to have this. We get up in the morning and we cook their little, here's your special bill. What do you think of that? You make sure that their water is always fresh. We take care of all those provision. Think about a shepherd who cares so greatly for his sheep that when he looks at his sheep, he thinks of someone who is an honored guest. This is not some flea-bitten nag here. This is not some little flea-bitten woolly that's headed for the slaughterhouse. He says, this is mine. This belongs to me. Sheep need continual sustenance. David says, the sustaining shepherd provides everything that is necessary. A table of provision, oil for anointing, an overflowing cup. I'm so thankful that I have a shepherd who just doesn't provide the bare necessities. He provides absolutely everything I need. He makes me feel as if I'm an honored guest in his company. Scripture says of my shepherd is that I am the bread of life, he says, and he who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Imagine a shepherd who says, I will always take your hunger and I will always make you full. Any thirst that you have, you will all have it. The eternal thirst that you have for life everlasting, he says, I give to you. I have a shepherd who anoints me. He says, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you. And you abide in him. In the Old Testament, when we thought of the Spirit of God coming upon people, the Old Testament says they were anointed at that point in time. And the anointing was an interesting thing in the Old Testament. It would come and would go, and it would lead David to cry out in that wonderful psalm. He says, don't take your Spirit away from you, from me. We read in the New Testament that the Spirit has come, and he resides in us, and he seals us, and he fills us. And he is ours forever. We have been anointed with the very Spirit of God. Finally, we see that the Lord is the portion of our inheritance and my cup, and that he supports our lot in beautiful ways. So what a wonderful thing we see here. We as sheep need constant attention. Our shepherd provides those needs. We need careful guidance. He's always there to guide us. We need continual sustenance. And not only does he provide us with sustenance, it's a virtual banquet of his word and his spirit and his goodness that is there for us. And that just leads in closing for David to look at this and say, when I look at my Lord who is my shepherd, when I look at the fact that confidently I can say I shall not want because of all the things that I've seen, he says, here's two promises that I look at in my life that I can never forget. First of all, he says, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Goodness simply speaks of mercy, of ongoing blessing in life. Loving kindness is hesed, which is the most beautiful word that God uses for this idea of kindness and mercy and a steadfastness and the covenant of who he is. He says that loving kindness and that mercy, he says, will follow me all the days of my life. I was thinking about that this week, and I was just reminded of when I was a child. For some reason, the things that I did as a young child, I look at that now and I say, how in the world would anybody ever let their child do that at that age? And at fourth grade, my dad said, it's time for you to get a paper route. And I think about that now. You know, third grade, it was time for you to start mowing the lawn. I can understand that one. Okay, but you know, he didn't want to mow the lawn, so it was my turn. And it was interesting because our first lawnmower, it had this little thing, you know, so it had the wheels that roll, and I literally had to run to keep up with the lawnmower. But fourth grade, he says, it's time for you to learn responsibility. You're getting a paper route. What are you in fourth grade? 10? 9? All right. So I get this paper route with a Viadet messenger. And I had 60 or 90 homes, and back then you would deliver it into the door, and then once a week you would go around and collect. So I did, you know, I was doing all those sort of things, and I, you know, I'm thinking of going really well. I did not find out until years later that the first 2 weeks as a paper boy, my dad followed me every day. Cool. He followed me, his goodness and loving kindness, which is right behind me. I want to say that to you today. You never grew so old that your Heavenly Father stopped following. He follows you every day. His goodness and his loving kindness is right there behind you. You need it today, don't you? And there he is. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And finally he says, and I will dwell in our shepherd's house forever. What a beautiful thing is that we understand that he will never leave us. That the end of this life is not the end of it, of our life with him. But all through our lives, forever and ever, we know that we are dwelling in our Father's house. We are sheep, and we need a shepherd, and our shepherd is right there. He never leaves. He never forsakes. He is always right there for us. We can always dwell in his house. I love this song. Let's pray. Lord, simple, simple precepts that we need so much. Kind words of a shepherd who cares for his sheep. Of a good shepherd who guides us and sustains us, who ministers to our every need. Let us take this confidence with us as we go through this week. May your following be something that we trust. May the promise of living in your house forever be real to us today. We do pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.